I can hack about 15 minutes standing, 15 to 20 minutes, and I toyed with just having a 15-minute sermon, but I thought, nah, if I'm going to make the effort, it's got to be longer than that. And those of you that can't see my face, probably okay. We're going to spend some time in John 13. Before I get to the scripture, I've been thinking the last at least 4 to 5 weeks a lot about humble service, about the self-sacrificing kind of service, and that's one of the few pluses that has popped up during the pandemic. There's just story after story after story of unselfish people giving of their time and their finances and any way that they can to help others during the pandemic. Just lots and lots of examples of that. And so that's been on my mind a lot. And then in reading John 13, I thought, I think I want to spend some time on that passage. And just a couple of days ago, I came upon a story that was almost a perfect example of this self-sacrificing kind of giving. There's a pastor in Los Angeles who runs one of the biggest homeless shelters in the LA area. He's in his 50s or 60s, I believe. He is diabetic, has been for about 40 years. He lost half of his right leg due to a flesh-eating disease, and he also has heart problems. So he's very much immunocompromised, as we say these days. But, and he's a pastor. He goes to work every morning at this homeless shelter with all these physical complications of his. His wife is a nurse, which is a real blessing for him, so she helps him with his insulin shots and all of that, and he talked quite a bit about how thankful he is for his wife. So she's working on the front lines also as a nurse at a hospital, and he goes to the shelter every single day. Gets up about 5:30 so that he can get there. As you know, in LA, it takes a while to get anywhere. So he finally can get into work about 7:30 or so. But I thought, what an example of the self-sacrificing service. And what they did, I mean, here's this guy, he's immunocompromised, and they turned the shelter, part of the shelter, into a coronavirus quarantine unit for homeless people. Because of all the people involved in the difficulties with the virus, homeless people have some of the biggest challenges because they don't have access to what we have access to. Even simple things like a face mask sometimes is hard to come by. So they turned part of the shelter into this outreach to coronavirus quarantine situation. And here this man is in his wheelchair going around to coronavirus sufferers. He keeps his distance, obviously, but he's virtually putting his life on the line every single day for people in some cases he barely even knows. So that was such a good example as we look at this particular passage of scripture about humble service. This pastor's example was, I thought, just a wonderful one. To set kind of the context of John 13, coming up to this passage or this timeline, if you will, of John's gospel, before this, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, pretty significant. He had that situation where Mary anointed him with the expensive perfume, poured that over his head, and Jesus even said, "She did a wonderful thing for me," mentioned about preparing him for his burial. He even sort of hinted at his death coming up. He was also the center of that Palm Sunday celebration, what I like to call the Hosanna Parade, where he's on the donkey and all the people are laying down their palm fronds and shouting Hosanna. And then in chapter 12, just before we get to our passage, there was kind of a lengthy, heavy discussion between Jesus and the disciples about his impending death. Now, the disciples never really kind of catch on when he talks about that, but there was a discussion of that just before we come to this passage. So think of all of that that's happened as we come to John 13. In the last 2 weeks, we heard some really good comments and thoughts about the wonder of God, the wonder of God from Brother Howard, and focusing more on Jesus with Brother Betwin, his supremacy and his excellency. So we've had that the last couple of weeks, and now today I'm going to really hone in on Jesus, even though he has this wonderful thing of being God, that in this passage it comes down to being a very humble, lowly servant. So let's go to our scripture, John 13, the first 17 verses. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would bless this time in your word. Speak through me, Lord, a faulty vessel. Speak to the hearts of our people. Help us all, Lord, to learn your example of humble service, to be willing to do that with others, to touch their hearts, to perhaps lead them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Some churches do foot washing as a regular practice, not very many churches. The Christian Reformed Church doesn't really have it as a regular practice. The Pope washes the feet of about, I think it's 12 people once a year on Maundy Thursday, the Thursday before Good Friday, and he will wash the feet of like homeless people or sanitation workers or inmates, people that society think of as less than. And so the Pope does that all because of this passage that I just read. So it's had impact in some ways that churches continue to even do this. In the setting of our passage, it's Passover time, but John indicates this meal was maybe before the actual, what we think of as the Lord's Supper, sort of the meal before the meal, if you will. There's some discussion amongst theologians that I will definitely not get into about the whole timing issue, but just think of it as not the Lord's Supper meal itself in this particular setting of the foot washing. Just try to imagine the setting with the disciples. It is a special meal. It's a meal with Jesus. And for the disciples, as they're sitting around, they perhaps are looking around for someone to do the foot washing. Ordinarily, in a special meal, someone would have been designated a servant or even lower, a slave would have been designated to do that. But in this case, they're looking around, and it seems that No one is going to do that. So just imagine the disciples kind of looking at each other. Should we wash our own feet? Or one of you guys going to get up and do it? All that kind of looking around and not sure what to do and a little bit of maybe discomfort. And while they're thinking about that or looking around, who gets up but Jesus? Without a word, he gets up, strips to the waist, and starts to do a lowly servant's job. Now, in this group, who in the world deserved more to have his feet washed than Jesus? Every disciple should have jumped up and washed Jesus' feet, but he is the one doing the washing. Now think about what's going through their minds. What are you doing, Lord? And remember, Judas is in the group too. I've always wondered about that look between Jesus and Judas when he's washing even Judas's feet. It's interesting to me that John does not include the actual institution of the Lord's Supper. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include it, where Jesus talks about the new covenant in my blood, that the juice, the wine, symbolizes his blood, shed blood, the bread, his broken body. The other three gospels go into it at length. John doesn't say anything about that. He focuses on the foot washing, and I think there's a reason for that, and we'll get there soon. And then there's good old Peter. You see the artist's rendering there. I won't spend a lot of time on his interaction with Jesus, as that's not my main focus today, but we'll touch on it. Verses 6 through 9, first, Peter is completely indignant. Completely no way that Jesus is going to wash his feet. Then Jesus tells him if he doesn't do it, Peter will have no part with him. So what does Peter do? He overreacts the other way. And then basically says to Jesus, "Then, Lord, give me a shower." And Jesus says, "No, you don't need a shower. You've already had a shower. You just need to have your feet dealt with." And that's probably some symbolism of salvation versus just having our sins forgiven when we confess day-to-day sins. But you just got to love Peter. He's just so much that way. Totally indignant, then totally humble, and then just the overreaction. He's the guy. So now we come to what I think might be the reason that John does want to focus on the foot washing, and not in this case in particular the specifics of the Lord's Supper. I want to go back to verses 13 through 17. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus is indeed their teacher and Lord, but he's giving them an illustration of what it means to be a true teacher and Lord. Again, Brother Betwin gave us those wonderful descriptions of his supremacy and his majesty last week. But in stooping to do the foot washing, he is setting that majesty aside. Now, adding to that, one of Jesus' favorite titles for himself is Son of Man. That seems to be in part a reference to the Old Testament prophet Daniel and a vision that he had in chapter 7. And verses 13 and 14, I think, are on your screen there. In verses 13 and 14 of Daniel 7, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He, the Son of Man, was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." What a grand and glorious description of the Son of Man. But here, the Son of Man is, he's washing dirty, stinky feet. Why? That is so not right. But Jesus also says of the Son of Man in Matthew 20:28, many of you know this verse, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So you see the contrast. This wondrous Son of Man, who has godly authority, power, and glory, he's taking the role of a humble servant. Jesus wants to drive a lesson deep into the hearts of the disciples that a true Lord and teacher serves. He doesn't boast. He doesn't lord his title or authority over people, but he serves. And did the disciples learn that lesson? Well, we obviously see that it stuck with John because we're reading about it in his gospel, obviously stuck there. And if you read through the New Testament, and if you've studied early Christian church history, you read time and again that the lesson did stick, this lesson of humble, unselfish service. Just as a side note, there was a pandemic over 700 years ago, the bubonic plague, which was nicknamed the Black Death, and estimates are anywhere from 40 to 50 million people died in that particular pandemic. And you know who jumped to the fore a lot to help people? It was Christians. During the Black Death, there are stories, things that were written at that time that have survived, that often it was Christians that stepped to the forefront to help during that time. And as you read stories about our pandemic now, again, it's a lot of Christians and churches that are stepping to the forefront. Not that no one else is helping that doesn't have faith in Christ, but the church, again, is kind of taking the lead in this humble service. So I want to shift gears now and just look at a few characteristics of Jesus' kind of service and how it applies to us today. First, this kind of service is sometimes unexpected and surprising. The disciples were likely totally shocked when Jesus started washing their feet. There is no way they could have predicted he would do that. The sometimes unexpected nature of humble service can often give it more lasting impact. One kind of simple example of that, Pastor Tom had not been with us more than a couple of weeks, and I was still kind of getting to know him. And I came to the church. I knew we were a little short on bottled water, and so I came upstairs to check, and there was one fresh whole bottle in the dispenser. There were a couple of filled bottles under the table. And I walked downstairs and I said, Larry, who got the water? And she said, oh, Pastor Tom. No one told him he needed to do it. No one asked him to do it. He just jumped up and did it. And I thought, you know, I think the search committee made a pretty good choice. That it was, because it was a little surprising, because I didn't know Pastor Tom that well. When it's surprising like that, the impact is a little bit stronger. Second, there is often a teaching or example aspect to it. That Greek word that comes out example in English, also the word pattern fits, as in pattern of behavior. So the example Jesus is setting is not to make foot washing a sacrament like communion, but it's to set an example of, here I am, teacher and Lord, and I'm doing a slave job. So what is the obvious lesson to the disciples? Do as I have done. It's a teachable moment for the disciples, and obviously as we read it, for us today. And because it's a person of status, much more impact just because of who it is that's doing that really drives the lesson home much stronger. And third, it's not done for fanfare, this kind of service. You notice Jesus is doing this just for the disciples. There's no big crowd on a hillside. It's a private, quiet lesson. Jesus is not doing any kind of, hey, look at me thing in doing this foot washing. This kind of service is always humble. A man named Joe Stoll was the head of Moody Bible Institute for a number of years, and he tells a story of he's about to lead a men's Bible study one morning at the church, and he just had an impulse. He just got up and started pouring coffee for all the guys. Here's the senior pastor, just jumped up and started pouring coffee. And he said his attitude was really good until one of the men said, "Oh, look at our humble pastor." And he said, once that was said, that was it. All he could think of was, yeah, I am a pretty humble guy. And so human nature, it's really hard to stay in that attitude of humility, not do it for the fanfare. Jesus says in Matthew 6:3, when he's talking about giving to the poor, he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So avoid the fanfare. Don't do it because someone may notice that you would get something out of it. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I've caught myself, and maybe it's just me, but I go often to an ATM that's enclosed, and if there's trash on the floor, I pick it up and toss it in the trash can, just something that I do. And occasionally in the back of my head, a thought sneaks in, I wonder if anyone on the camera is watching and thinking, oh, what a nice guy. Maybe that's just me, though. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever felt that way. It's really hard to pull that away from a humble act, to do it as Jesus was doing. Jesus, I think we can be pretty assured, Jesus had absolutely no thought in his mind except to be a humble servant and to show the disciples in a very dramatic way what it looks like to be a humble servant that's not doing it for any fanfare at all. Later in this chapter, Jesus says something that is part of the application for us today. He says to the disciples, but also to us, in verses 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And the beginning of the chapter says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So part of the foot washing was not just humble service, but it was what? It was love. Verse 14 again. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Again, not literally, that's not the only thing Jesus wants them to do, is just literally washing people's feet, but he wants to see them express this kind of humble service in their own lives, to do it out of love. Love has to be a part of that. A friend of mine, John, in New Mexico, I told him I was going to be speaking on this, and he said, it's not exactly foot washing, but I had a somewhat similar experience. His dad, who has since passed away, he was in a senior care facility, and when he came to visit one day, a podiatrist was there clipping toenails, but they were charging Medicare $150 to do it. It wasn't a self-sacrificing thing. Medicare was paying for it. So John is, how shall I put this, cheap. John did not want his dad's Medicare charged $150. So he goes to his dad's room and decides, I'm going to clip dad's toenails. And when he first thought of it, he didn't think it was a big deal. But he said, as I did it, it was a really humbling and intimate action. And his dad really didn't even know what to say, that his son was willing to do that. That's the kind of humble service Jesus is looking for from all of us. That phrase, one another, it's one of my favorite phrases in the New Testament. It pops up a lot And I'm going to give you the whole list. If you could go to the next slide there. The whole list of, it's almost all of the one another's in the New Testament. And you'll see the first one is 13 times that one pops up. Do you think that's significant? Do you think Jesus is trying to tell us something in the writers of the New Testament that this might be kind of important? It might be, survey says, number one, love one another. So that's the one that kind of overshadows all the rest of these. You see, accept one another, instruct one another, serve one another, carry one another's burdens, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgive one another, submit to one another, encourage one another, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, be hospitable to one another, and last, be in agreement with one another. That should be enough application to keep us all busy for the rest of our lives. We need to look for ways to be of humble service at home with our families. Maybe you need to do a little foot washing in the home, in this church, in our own body here, in the workplace. If you have a workplace, there might be opportunities for unselfish, humble service. And then obviously in our island community of Guam. Now, of course, Jesus' ultimate act of humble service was his death on the cross. You don't stop with the foot washing. You go on to the later chapters and his sacrifice of himself, that death on the cross. But what does Paul tell us in Philippians 2? He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the foot washing was a significant example, but his death on the cross overshadows that. Just as Jesus was the most deserving to have his feet washed rather than do the foot washing, Jesus was also the least deserving to be on that cross. He's the only one who didn't have to go. He had no reason to be on that cross except in our behalf to accomplish what the Father had charged him to do. And you and I, we're being the most humble servants of Jesus when we tell someone else about what he did for us and what he did for them. And if they then become believers as we share the gospel, then we go on to serve them humbly, and hopefully they will learn themselves how to serve others. What a blessed world it will be if we're all willing to wash somebody else's dirty, stinking feet. Again from verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Be a blessed foot washer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this example from Scripture of what it means to be a truly humble servant. Lord, help us to set aside our pride that gets in the way so often, our desire to be noticed, our desire to have someone say, oh, wow, that guy is really humble. Lord, help us to set all of that aside, that if we are a follower of yours, we'll do that in a way that reflects the love that you have for us and for others that would cause you to strip to the waist and to do a slave's job and wash off those dirty feet. Lord, help us to not avoid dirty feet, but to look for dirty feet and how we can help, how we can wash, how we can serve in that humble kind of way. And especially during this pandemic, when sometimes people are more open to hear about something greater than themselves because they're sick and tired of what's going on and they're frustrated and they don't know where to turn. that, Lord, we might help to provide some answers and to provide humble, self-sacrificing love to those that really need it, especially at this time. Father, we pray you would watch over us and help to lead and guide us in this. In Jesus' name, amen.